Welcome to the CTO Podcast, an I Hear Everything production. This podcast is dedicated to exploring the challenges and opportunities facing today's chief technology officers. Looking to discover what it takes to succeed as a CTO? Then sit back and relax as we explore the fascinating evolution of the world of technology leadership. Here's the host of the CTO Podcast, the founder of 7 CTOs, Etienne De Bruin.
Okay, welcome to the CTO Podcast. I'm your host and the founder of 7 CTOs, Etienne De Bruin. Joining us is Stefan Schmidt, who is the CTO coach at Amazing CTO. As a CTO coach and developer, Stefan has seen many technology departments in fast-growing startups. As a kid, he taught himself to code in a department store around 1981 because he wanted to write video games. Sounds like me. Stefan studied computer science with distributed systems and artificial intelligence at the University of Ulm. He also studied philosophy. When the internet came to Germany in the 90s, he worked as the first coder in several startups. He has founded a VC-funded startup, worked in VC-funded fast-growing startups with architecture, processes, and growth challenges, worked as a manager for ImmoScout, and as a CTO of an eBay Inc. company. And today, Stefan and I are going to discuss vision, strategy, and alignment. Okay, here's my conversation with Stefan Schmidt, the CTO coach at Amazing CTO. Yesterday, Stefan and I talked about vision, strategy, and alignment. Today, we're going to continue our conversation and discuss the future of CTO with AI. Okay, here's my conversation with Stefan Schmidt, the CTO coach at Amazing CTO. Stefan, welcome.
Thank you for having me back.
You aren't responding to any of my German phrases. Is it because it's so terrible that you...
No, I think I said yesterday, didn't I?
You did, but I mean, sure, this is the one phrase everybody knows in German.
Yes, but if you speak German to get better at German, I should speak English to get better at English, shouldn't I? I know German, you know, so...
I get it. Well, every now and again when I say something in German, maybe just humor me and just respond back in German, please.
I try.
So I really enjoyed yesterday when we talked about your analogy of casting vision, the strategy is how to get there, and then to work with your team on alignment. I really loved the idea that if the strategy isn't helping you make decisions, it's time to maybe rethink your strategy. So I think that's all good. I want to turn today towards this whole AI thing that's happening, how CTOs are responding to this, all this talk about jobs being lost, this revolution that we're in. And clearly it is a game-changing revolution. It's the beginning of one. Tell me a little bit about what you're seeing as a CTO coach, obviously as an experienced CTO. What are some of your thoughts around AI right now?
My thoughts about AI for CTOs, you should have started 6 months ago. And if you haven't started yet doing something with AI, you're too late to the game. My thinking is we don't know currently what's going on with AI. No one knows. I made the analogy this week to a coach. When I was doing my first job, I was creating a website at a company, and I was creating HTML by hand. And this is how we did the internet in the 90s. Someone sent me a Word document, I created HTML from it by hand. And then some years later, someone came up with a CMS. Wow, CMS. No, everyone now is using a CMS, but we hadn't seen one, so obviously we couldn't use one. And the same is some years later, my startup, we had some trouble selling our B2B software. Why? Because SaaS was not invented yet. And then obviously today, trivial, SaaS, subscription, monthly subscription, done. And I think we're at the same point at AI, where the internet started. And there is this technology, but we don't know yet how it moves. Mm. I think we can't imagine how it will change things and how it will reflect on software development.
So editor, just one note. Stefan, every time you hit the table, it makes us...
Yes.
Okay, let's continue. So in this undefined state, what are you telling CTOs? How should they go about being with AI and all these changes? Let's say they did not start 6 months ago. How do you like to see CTOs show up right now?
What I tell everyone is that they should at least hire an intern with the title of AI something. Because if there is one person in the company who has an AI title and does nothing but thinking about AI, a state of AI, and how to apply AI to the business. And applying AI to the business is more than putting some data into ChatGPT. So then it's not happening. So you need someone from morning to evening who is thinking about this, because otherwise there is so much stuff going on that AI might be fall to the side. And if you have someone, at least someone, if you can't afford a lot of people, then have just an intern who's thinking about AI and how to apply it to your business. Better have a team. And then in the future, it will be everywhere. But it's just like a little bit like in the past, people used email and it was one department that used email. And I think that's where we are currently with AI. And then some years later, everyone uses email. But today, I think it could start with one person, should start with one person.
Yeah, I like that idea. I think the part that is most scary for me, not only for myself, but for other people, is the idea that we don't know how to apply AI in our current businesses. We might say, oh, I am the CTO of a company that matches A with B, you know, I don't really see a use for LLMs or the application of machine learning or data that necessarily impacts A connecting with B. But therein, I think, lies the danger, which is, no, people are going to think differently about A and think differently about B. And you absolutely have to consider the data that's being used or sitting around, and what are you not doing with your data, and how are you not building models around that? So I think to me feels very uneasy. It's like we're sitting on a volcano that's about to erupt.
Yes, I would agree. I don't feel uneasy. I think it's a very interesting time to live in. Everyone laughed about this, the idea of singularity 20 years ago. I think a lot of less people are laughing now. You really need to think about AI. It's like the internet in 1995, as I said. No one knew what to use the internet for, except like have a homepage with a phone number or something. And then all the other fantastic stuff happened. And if as a company don't think about how it applies to you and how you can, what you can do with it, you will not come up with ideas. For example, in the last newsletter, I think, was an article linked where a company, they fed all the Slack messages of their CEO into a local LLM and then made a bot that answered as with the voice, text voice, but in the tone and with the ideas of their CEO. And I think if people do not play around with AI in the company, they will not come up with that. And I think this is something you need in the future as a company.
Yeah, I think the, at least how I am processing this, is the idea and the notion that we're moving away from programming executable code towards a world where we are training models. For instance, one company I'm working with helps companies build budgets. And so they have thousands and thousands of budgets in their system. And in the past, we may have said, well, let's sort of do some sort of standard deviation analysis on sort of a global median and then just send a red flag if one budget line entry seems a little off or something. Now we're in this completely different world where you should take those budgets, the thousands of budgets that you have, and use that to train a model on what is a quote unquote good and bad budget. And that already is a switching from programming to training is, for me, is one of the biggest shifts that we're having to facilitate.
Yes, I totally agree. And I think because people talk a lot about software development and AI, I think the near-time end game essentially is something like Star Trek. It's not about writing software. It's not about plugging AI into my software, but AI is the software. So you have a very general AI system, and I tell the AI system, please store every customer and the customer information somewhere. And I don't care where this is stored and how it's stored. And then I might say something like, send a reactivation mail to all my customers. And then I don't know how this is happening, but then a mail. AI decides to do reactivation on its own. But a lot of people currently think like, we have the software that we have, but we just plug some AI in and have AI as a microservice or something. But I think like a 20-year time frame end game is just to have a blob and tell the blob.
Oh,
and
then
for a CRM example, say something like, okay, I would like to have a web page, show me all the CRM data from the customers of last week on a web page, and then a web page pops up.
Yes.
Or in a vision, in an Vision Pro or something where it pops up, but you don't write software. And
I often tell my children, and I have been telling my children, that especially as we were contending with Siri, my kids laugh at me because every time there's a Siri interaction, there's usually some profanity involved. But I often tell my children that the gold standard for me, for Siri, or for any voice activated assistant, is the Star Trek computer do something for me, right? It's the being anywhere, anytime, and just saying the words computer. And then, like you just said, it's not about the app. You're not going to say to the computer, load the CRM app or load Yelp and find for me, isolate your search results too. And then you're not programming an app. You're basically just, like you said, you just tell the AI what you want or what you need.
Yes.
And I was extrapolating that the other day to this idea that maybe our kids will look at these phones and be mystified at why did we download apps to the phone? What is that? And I think we're going to look at these phones and say, remember when these phones were so dumb, like they were dumb terminals into the internet. I love the other day I saw you tweet about IRC on a Vax. That's basically how I also did IRC, by the way. And you talked about sort of the terminate stay residency of the app. But I genuinely feel like we're going to be looking at our phones and say these were dumb green screen terminals into the so-called servers, i.e. the Vaxes in floating in the cloud.
Well, a little glimpse is when you look, I think Terminator 2, I'm not sure, where the main protagonist runs around trying to find a phone and then try to explain to kids why the protagonist is running around trying to find a phone. It's totally bonkers. And I think the same will happen. Like, why do you carrying this thing around?
Yes.
And sometimes people today think AI ends with software development, ends with AI write me a CRM system, but that's not thought enough. That's not far enough. You know,
I agree.
AI will not create software. AI is the software.
Oh, that is so beautiful.
This is the discussion about what I have, what I really like to have with people is how for the next 10 years and beyond, how roles change. Like we have developers, we have DevOps, we have product managers, we have CTOs. So which of these roles will stay? How will they change? Will the CEO, I'm not that huge of a Star Trek fan. I'm basically Star Wars fan. So, but Captain Picard would not say, tell someone, write me an app, or tell the computer, write an app. It's not. So the CEO would not transfer this from a captain to a CEO point, would not go to someone and say, like, do this or that, but just tell the computer to do it. And so how will this role change? And I think in the near future, like it's not 50 years away when this huge changes arrive.
So if we take that to startups, what do you think is going to change? One of the things we're hearing the most right now is development teams. It's just going to be possible to do a startup with far less developers. One of the things we're hearing, right? Oh, dev teams of 3 or 4 versus dev teams of 30 and 40.
This is something... Yes, I totally agree. But this is something that should have been happened 5 years ago or 10 years ago. We have seen all this off-the-shelf technology. We have seen these examples of companies. WhatsApp, I think, is an example. Very few engineers, billions of users. And then, so this is already, I think, is happening. And for some reason, we created some kind of blockage, which blocked the reduction of engineers, I think, because I don't know where the reason really is, but I think when I look at Hacker News, for example, there are so many threads about solo entrepreneurs, single developers creating great things. And then I see my coaches, which have trouble getting something done with 50 developers for various reasons. I think we have been blocked, and AI will really unblock this. And there will be some, like, it's like an earthquake where some landscape has been
split in half.
They have tectonic plates, you know, it's like tectonic plates, and they have been waiting for some time to snap, but they haven't for various reasons. And I think AI will unblock this and really create a larger backlash on changes than it would otherwise have.
That's a very interesting comment. So you're saying, let's just go back to the Hacker News comment you made. So you're saying you're seeing these individuals and small teams doing amazing things on Hacker News. And then you have coaching clients, CTOs, who can't get anything done with 30 or 40 people.
Yes.
That's incredible. I mean, that is really fascinating. So I wonder if we're moving then. Are we moving then towards a situation where CTOs may not need to manage, may not need to have people skills anymore?
Yes, perhaps AI skills. I read an article about VC money, and there was this point in it that the plan B of a lot of VCs, and I'm not very deep into VC. I know some and talk to some, but I'm not very, very deep in it. But the backup plan for a lot of VCs was acqui-hire, and it says something like, okay, each engineer is worth $1 million. So if the company can't make it, at least if you have 50 engineers, there is some value you can sell to someone because in an acqui-hire sense, the company is something worth. And I think that's one of the reasons that these engineering departments are that huge compared to what they achieve. And that also seems to change. So there seem to be several changes, several levels that taken together will create a tectonic change. Mm-hmm. You live in interesting times. There is no German for that. So.
What is the German phrase for "may you live in interesting times"?
I think the sentence is very un-German. I'm not...
Would you Germany. Please? Just the way you said that was so affectionate. I really appreciate that. I My wish pleasure. For you. I love that. Hey, Stefan, this was fascinating. I think we should talk more. What do you think?
Coming back to yesterday, I love talking. So.
Okay. Well, let me say goodbye to you, and I'm pretty sure you're going to be back very quickly. Okay, that wraps up this episode of the CTO Podcast. Thanks to Stefan Schmidt, CTO coach at Amazing CTO, for joining us. If you would like to contact Stefan, you can find a link to his LinkedIn profile in our show notes. You can contact him on Twitter, where his handle is King of Coders, CODERS, or visit his company website at AmazingCTO.com, and definitely subscribe to his newsletter, which is awesome. And if you want to share your stories of technical strategy and leadership in the C-suite, you can apply to be a guest speaker on the CTO Podcast. Of course, you can always reach out on social media. Our handle is 7CTOs on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Or you can contact me directly. My handle is @TheBruin, @TheBruin. If you haven't subscribed yet and want a steady stream of CTO brilliance in your podcast feed, we're publishing multiple episodes each week. So hit that subscribe button in your podcast app, and we'll be back in your feed tomorrow. Okay, that's all for today. But until next time, remember that if things aren't breaking, your company isn't growing. Okay?